Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy for the Crown Forklifts Encore range. Guaranteed reliability, superior quality. Check them out at crown.com. No risk, no worries.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia and welcome to the big Monday edition of Kennedy Malloy. Hello Jane Kennedy.
Hello Mick Malloy.
Hello Dangerous Dave.
G'day guys.
Good
Hi,
to
Dave.
Know you're still with us Jane after
I
your
am.
Big girls weekend away. We'll get
I'm
to the
here, Jeff.
Bottom of that very, very shortly. In the meantime, we will be talking apocalypse. Watch the border wars. We're turning on each other. Every state is going the other states. Sure, Victoria may be a basket case in Warrington, but
they're spoiling it for everyone.
Yeah. It's getting un-Australian, which is another segment we're doing.
Oh, we love this segment. A guy in Perth has been kicked out of a pub for having a mullet.
That is bloody
disgust.
Un-Australian.
That is un-Australian.
And
is
Western
un-Australian.
Australia, I expect more from you.
Yeah. It's
one of the homes
too.
Of the mullet. It's one of the homes of Australian behaviour. And
we'll be taking your calls too on any un-Australian behaviour you've witnessed we are the station that is keeping an eye on
yes.
that.
Yes, sure. What about this guy, Peter Freedman? That name ringing any bells?
Well,
he's the Australian who just spent $9 million buying Kurt Cobain's guitar.
Well done,
that's so
Peter
good.
Friedman.
Mm.
We're
good
proud.
Investment. That is sound. Mm. We will speak to him and see what else he's prepared to sink some money into shortly
that's
on
true.
The show.
A friend of ours, Tom Gleisner, will be here because Have You Been Paying Attention is on tonight. Tommy's here to discuss a few things with us. We love chatting
have
with
I
Tom.
Have I done something wrong? Have I upset them? When am I on
Aren't
again?
Aren't you on again?
I don't know.
Did you give it a bump the last time
the
you
Mickey
were on?
Bump.
I did. The Mickey
the
bump.
The Mickey bump. Oh, well, that's all right. You'll be on soon.
Well.
Hey, men are idiots. There's no segue there, by the way. We've got a couple of idiotic stories that guys have been doing. Again, we'd like to hear if you've got any friends that you know have done
you
something
You might be
a bit
married
stupid.
To one. You might. Have given birth to one.
Correct.
You might be one. You
That's
can give
true.
Us a call right here on the
We're
station.
We're all friends
We'll
here.
Take your calls. We'll take your tweets. There's a lot to get through. Maybe even a quick I call bullshit, which I love on.
Well, look, it's a Monday. That's when the magazines come out.
You sound slightly let down by the magazines this week, isn't
it? I have this week. Oh, yeah. No, there's not enough juicy stories.
All
when
right,
Paddy Newton's on the front of the, Women's Day, you know that there's something up.
Speaking of juicy stories, what happened in your girls' weekend?
Well,
so on Friday we were discussing you, five girls, coastal location, beach house. We were thinking pillow fights, flowers.
You were lingerie. Hoping pillow fights.
They thought in lingerie, which I thought was crossing a line.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
I think that, was a crossing
Sandra
a line.
Sandra D was mentioned. What happened? Fill us in. How did we get? Were we close?
Well, first of all, stunning weather we had, and we're able to sit outside. And we had Saturday platter day. So
Saturday platter day?
With salami and rivers of salami.
Oh,
we
and,
had
and your, brie, and your giant bottle of
giant bottle
of wine, which had its own fridge.
Yeah.
It was like a bigger than a Methuselah, which are the big size bottles. The girls thought that was unreal.
Wow,
so we're taking photos. We're sitting there. And let's just say we put in a 12-hour session at the lunch table.
Good stuff.
Then it started to get a bit chilly, and I said, no problem, girls, I've got the fire pit. So we get the fire pit going, and we pull it out on the decking, and we're watching it. One of the girls was looking at it after a couple of hours and thought, God, that's giving off a great glow. No, the deck caught on fire.
Oh, Jesus.
We were a bit slow to react.
Oh.
And
burned the place down.
We just about burned the house we were staying in down.
No.
So out comes, we go, gosh, girls, well, come on, get it together. Now, we had had a few at this stage. Let's just say.
Oh, this is hilarious.
All I knew was that the fire brigade were in the next street, so it's not too far away. We did manage to extinguish the fire, but let's just say there's a rather big hole in the deck.
Okay.
And it looks very crispy.
Now, have you explained this to certain other people? Like your partner?
I got round to it. Got round to it maybe the next day. Oh, you'll never believe this. But what I want to say is, what a bad design of a fire pit that you can't put on your deck. And I also will say one of the girls did say, when I pulled it on and I was loading it up with the fire starters, put about 80 of
those
on.
That's too many.
Because we didn't have newspaper, right? So then we got it fired up and she did say, Janie, do you think it's safe to have a fire pit on deck? I went, don't be stupid. Why would someone design a fire pit that you can't have on a deck?
And can I say, I'm going from memory here, but I believe that deck may be classified by the National Trust.
Oh,
well, did they have decking in the 1850s? I don't think so. Sure.
Jeez.
Yes,
wow.
So
And when you were putting it out,
were
you all putting it out in your underwear? Because that's just the image. If you're not going to have a pillow fight.
I'll tell you what.
At least
was
the
said.
Idea that you had hose, now you're turning hoses on yourselves.
Yeah. Look, I do have slight little vision of one of the girls throwing like half a jug of water on it.
That'll do it.
And I do have aftermath pictures. And they did all the girls, as we finally settled down and poured another bottle, they just said, well, there's your opening segment for Monday. Wow. Unplanned, of course.
Show is written. Jane Kennedy had a girls' weekend and nearly burnt
the house
down. What more could you expect? Welcome back. Glad to have you back safely.
Thank you. Yes, that was good. How was your weekend?
Oh, we'll get to that later on.
Really?
Maybe during Men Are Idiots.
That's
I
a
could
good idea.
Tell you what I got up to last night.
All right, we'll stick around for
but
that.
James was involved. Just quickly, by the way, James, we're going to go to... We're about to go to Apocalypse Watch, but James has done a very silly thing.
This is producer James.
Well, I've just been in the men's toilets and James was in there and he left first. He did not wash his hands for 20 seconds. It was it was
5 second wash?
Tap. Whoa.
One, two, three, four. No singing. He's out.
Inspector Malloy's on hand here.
And then he's singing. You've got to sing a song.
Yeah, give something like...
Girl from Ipanema. You've got to do your 20 minutes. You've got to do your hand washing
song. The girl from Ipanema.
Happy birthday twice.
We'll get to that. We'll get him in. We'll get him in shortly. Okay. But he was involved in my...
Oh, well, that is apocalyptic.
Then he comes in to adjust Mick's screens just before the show starts. Mick's going, get your hands off.
Don't touch my screen, you dirty, disease-ridden, golem-like creature.
Oh, now he's golem. God.
Apocalypse Watch is coming up. We're here thanks to Crown Forklifts. Guaranteed reliability, superior quality.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
We interrupt this program.
My message is...
How dare you?
Apocalypse Watch!
This is not a test.
Kennedy Malloy's
Apocalypse Watch.
I mean, we've been drilling it into children.
Yeah.
Right? So children, it's got the Vegemite song or the Happy Birthday song, but you don't leave the bathroom until you've spent at least 20 seconds washing and wiping your hands and lathering them up and getting them up to speed.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I witnessed one of the more idiotic incidences.
Okay.
And hi, James. James is with us. James was in the toilets.
He seems pretty clean to me.
James, what were you thinking? Were you just not thinking? Did you just not...
I didn't know I was being surveilled in the toilet for a starter.
Well, you were being surveilled, not in a creepy way.
I'm still disturbed that both of you are in the toilet at the same time. That's what I'm trying to do.
I think it's
a
first for us. We don't normally cross paths.
Keeping check,
and it's ended in tears. But when you say surveilled, it was like I said, I was listening to this tap.
Yep.
One, two, three.
Yep.
And not even any drying, just whoosh, towel, scrunch, scrunch,
very
bang,
quick.
Out.
I finished 10 seconds before you finished. You were a cubicle operator, by the way.
Oh, interesting.
For number one.
I was a cubicle operator because you were hogging the urinal. You didn't see me in there by any chance,
come on.
Did you?
There's mixed company here.
Hello? Because I did have my pants pulled down.
Oh, come on.
No, I'll tell you why.
No, I don't want to know why.
No, because I've got buttons on my fly.
Oh, stop. Yeah.
And
who
at the
cares?
Moment, it's easier just to pull your pants down. You know, like kids do when they go to the toilet.
Exactly.
No, this is not acceptable.
It's
a lot of
easier
work
to
with
do
the
that than to actually have to fumble around and get all the buttons undone and then all the buttons done up again.
Right.
But do you acknowledge that what you did could have put all our health in jeopardy?
No. I would maintain I am the most hygienic of the team and I have everyone's safety
top of mind.
And my lathering game was on point.
Okay. I don't want to hear the word lathering anymore today.
And we'll see you back here later for Men of Idiots.
That's right. Yeah.
He may or may not have a story involving me. All right, let's get into it. Where do you want to start, Jane?
Well, this has been a debacle in Victoria.
Victoria has...
The numbers are up and they shouldn't be. They're spiking all over the shop. Football games were cancelled on the weekend because a footballer was tested positive.
There's clusters all over the joint.
There's clusters everywhere. It's debacle.
And the other states have turned on
they have.
Victoria, including Anastasia Palaszczuk, who's up there in Queensland, who doesn't mind going anyone these days.
That's true.
Gladys has copped it. Everyone's copping it. And she seems to be enjoying the idea that Victorians, who, by the way, are responsible for a fair bit of their GDP over winter, I should point out.
It seems
to be enjoying their woes or problems or likes to rub it in maybe a bit. Have a listen.
The AHPPC has also said they have concerns about Victoria, and I have concerns about Victoria. The Health Minister has concerns about Victoria. There is a lot of active community transmission happening in Victoria, and I hope that Victoria can get this community transmission under control. People were stopping me and saying they are very concerned about Victoria. So, you know, whatever assistance we can all give to Victoria, we should, because we don't want to see a second wave.
Calm down, Anna. Come on.
We get it.
Someone seems to be using coronavirus as a way to one-up other states.
She's got to be careful, as you say. There's so many Victorians who want to go north for the winter and they can't get there, and you've got a lot of tourism in trouble. So look out. But
I'm going to take the Ruby Princess to Brisbane and get off at Brisbane.
In a captainate.
Hey, you've made your point.
Thank you,
Anastasia.
Yes.
Back off. Mm. Now, this is my general note.
What's that?
To all of the state leaders who have all been part of the national cabinet.
Yes.
Calm the farm and don't turn on each other. These are the times when people will look back and reflect and remember how you behaved in the age of coronavirus, and you will be judged by it. Mm. And little outbursts like that, which are clearly loaded to upset
100%.
People. She's not being helpful. She's just trying to be we've seen the Gaza Strip war up there between her and New South Wales.
That's right. Gladys,
down south, Adelaide and Victoria trying to kill each other. Do you remember that there's a painting by Pablo Picasso called Civil War.
Right.
It's about a country tearing itself apart
from inside.
And it's hideous, and that's what it feels like we're doing right now. Don't believe me. Here's some of the grabs. Here's just some of the outspoken
the civil wars.
Of civil wars.
Premiers and their governments have all made their own decisions, and so they've got to justify those decisions.
We're all adults and we should be able to have this conversation. This isn't personal.
I know that Gladys looks forward to her far north Queensland holiday every year, but look, in all honesty, I've got to take the advice of the Chief Health Officers.
I'll end up going to Auckland before I end up going to Brisbane.
They have 401 in New South Wales active cases at the moment. We've just seen a school close in New South Wales.
This is about fighting a dictatorial government in Palaszczuk.
We're not going to give in to that sort of bullying by the New South Wales Premier.
Out of that batch of 9,700 or so tests, there were only two cases identified.
Look how well Queensland is going. Like, we had zero cases overnight.
For South Australians, what we are effectively doing is removing the border on our side.
It is important that we get those removed as soon as possible.
Well, look, I don't want to be offensive to South Australians, but why would you want to go there? Why would you want to go there? Holiday here.
I'll tell you what, I'm really contemplating building a wall and making them pay for it.
Come on, we're better than this. Australia.
I think all the premiers are pretty happy with their positions.
So. The chess
and
the moment,
quite enjoying having a crack, kicking each other in the testicles while we can.
Isn't this the time we're all supposed to be together?
We should be united.
Being
this is how
united.
You show who you are. Now, when we come back, more Apocalypse Watch. Yes. We're going to have a little update from Greta Thunberg before we unleash an Australian.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
An Aussie business owner by the name of Peter Friedman, he runs Rode Microphones, which is a global company born in Australia. Yeah. He's done something quite extraordinary, which we're very proud about. We're going to have a chat with him coming up in the next 10 minutes on Kennedy.
Well, it's very MTV, very Triple M, very music orientated. So you want to hang around for this.
I'm looking forward to talking to him about that.
We are still in the middle of Apocalypse Watch. One of your favourites, Greta Thunberg, Jane, has released a podcast. Am I right?
Yes, she has. She's had time up her sleeve, she says, to relax and reflect away from the public gaze.
She's in lockdown, is she?
She's in lockdown, and she has shared with the BBC part of a podcast which she's done for Swedish radio. So she's taken a sabbatical from school to spend the year I was going to say banging on. I meant talking about, campaigning about climate change. And shall we hear for a little bit about from the podcast? Here's something that she has to say.
Who is the adult in the room? This question reaches a whole new level when I end up standing in front of the food court in the US House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. Fast food chains, hamburgers, candy and ice cream stores, Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin Robbins. Here you find the most powerful policymakers in the world sitting in their suits while drinking pink milkshake, eating junk food and candy.
What a great observation, though. That's very astute. It is, isn't it?
I mean,
well, as the president's favourite foods, KFC and McDonald's, I mean, honestly, that's going to set the pace for it, isn't it?
Well said. There they are. Stupid idiots, world leaders.
She did get to reflect, though. She does get to. Of course, she gets quite heavy, of course, in her podcast.
That's her thing, Jane. That's what she does.
That's what she does. But she does sort of end on a nice lighter note. Okay. Let's have a listen. Yeah.
The first thing I see when I enter the United Nations headquarters building in New York City is Roxy, my dog. The two of us are projected onto a large screen, which apparently is part of an international art exhibition. When I see her brown Labrador eyes, it almost feels as if she was here with me. Aww. Suddenly I'm reminded of how much I miss her.
And then I put her down.
Whoa. I tell you what,
it's nice to know that she does feel genuine emotion for something other than climate. Or, you know, something in our.
I think I might, though. That's a good one to go to bed and listen to when you want to fall asleep.
Greta Thunberg. Yeah. Is that ringing in your ears? Crikey. All right, good on you. Hopefully we'll hear from her later in the week. Yeah. Time for a bit of this.
It's one of the most commonly used insults in the Aussie vernacular.
It's un-Australian.
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 I should know. I've been Australian all my life.
They'll be telling us how many beers they had, Nick.
And another thing is, it's un-Australian.
Un-Australian.
Bloody oath it is, a few stories have come across our desk which made us angry.
None better than this first one, honestly.
Yes, it's from a WA. Mm. In fact, Scarborough Beach, where we were talking to Ian Kenny the other day, who was there. One of our own, a lad sporting a mullet, has been refused entry.
What?
To a pub in Western Australia, one of the bogan outposts of the world.
No, that makes no sense.
How it was reported in the news.
I had one drink with my mother, and then a couple of my friends and I decided to head over to El Grotto.
But in the line outside, it was man versus bouncer.
He said no mullets allowed. I was more concerned about my pluggers, but he wasn't too fussed about that. I reckon it's a bit silly. I mean, it's a mullet, so, I mean, heaps of people have mullets.
Cooper refuses to lose the locks.
Nah, not a chance. Wasn't there to have a haircut. Was there to seek frothies.
Okay, this
now, there's a lot there. A lot to unpack there, really. Yeah, first of all, is having a drink with his mum.
They're also, they're tearing down a lot of statues, but we should think of erecting a few.
I agree.
You know, this guy having a frothy in his toggies.
He's concerned about his pluggers. Do you know what they are?
His pluggers will be his thongs.
That's right.
And with his homemade mullet. It's not even a mullet. Now, I'm a good judge of a mullet.
Yeah.
And this is down the mullety end of the mullet. Mm. And, in fact, it's homemade. It's not even from a shop. So
it doesn't look too severe to me.
It's not good.
A bit unkempt at the back.
There's a party out the back. There's a party that's going on for, like, days out the back. But who
that's
do you
insane.
Think you are? Under
Don't
what
refuse
grounds
someone.
Do you refuse a guy entrance to a pub?
Come on. Disappointing.
With a mullet. Mm. That right. is what... I don't recognise this country sometimes.
Okay.
All right, what else?
An Australian guy from Brisbane, Brisbane guy, ordered some Thai takeaway. Dave, listen up.
That's an Aussie thing to do, though, isn't it?
Thai takeaway. Okay, so he got some tom yum soup, a seafood salad, and a small garlic prawn. $40!
Oh, that is.
It's bloody un-Australian.
He puts a photo online and he goes, pardon me, but $40 for this? And everyone's gone ballistic and go, mate, I agree with you. That is ridiculous. What's going on? That is un-Australian.
It's like charging for sauce. This is terrible.
It's like the pissiest looking meal of all time and cost him $40.
And it's takeaway.
It's takeaway Thai.
You know what Thai food is? Cheap and cheerful.
That's what we love about
cheerful, fresh, and not Richie, they would offend you, Dave, would you?
Well, no way I'd pay $40 for that. And I think $56 for a family pack is still too expensive.
Careful what... No. They were very kind to you.
And I do appreciate the...
Are you going down there?
No way. I'm not walking in there.
You're un-Australian.
Mick and I are going to go on your behalf and wolf it down ourselves.
You're more than welcome.
You are un-Australian. You are, Dave... un-Australian yourself.
As a mate of mine said to me, he said, mate, you shouldn't pay more than $10 a head for fish and chips. And
I'm going, where are they shopping?
Absolutely right.
Come on, that's not on. All right, this is really distressed me, this next story.
Let's hold it. Back and do that? In the meantime, we'll take your calls. 1-3-5-3. Seen any un-Australian activity, been involved in it, get on board, keep it down the lighter end, people.
Yeah.
We're mucking around here.
And good news is we'll put you in the draw for a $10,000 Tempur mattress as well.
Baby.
Give us a call.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Tom Gleisner, he's going to join us soon. Have you been paying attention? Back on the TV tonight, 8:30, Channel 10.
Hey, we are into un-Australian activity, 1-3-3-5-3. Based off these stories so far, 18-year-old with mullet refused entry to pub in Scarborough. Bloody un-Australian.
Yeah.
Man orders two dishes at Thai takeaway in Brisbane.
Charge $40. Bucks.
That's we've jumped the shark there.
And how about this one? We've got one. The butterfly, the very Australian stroke dating back to the 1930s, has been banned to be used in the UK because they say you spread out and you might spread coronavirus in a pool.
Well, what the hell?
Swim England's gone mad.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Insane.
Why? Under what basis?
Yeah.
Well, because you might spread it more than if you're doing freestyle.
That's ridiculous.
How so?
Wide strokes such as butterfly should be avoided when the lanes become busy, says Swim England.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Who sits and makes that rule? Yeah. What is wrong with that person?
Do you know...
That is un-Australian. Yeah.
Bill Hunter, apart from being one of Australia's finest actors, was also an Australian butterfly champion at one stage.
Really?
That's how he started in films. He was a stuntman.
No kidding.
And that's how he got to... Ava Gardner, which was back in the day.
We missed that one.
We're learning things this afternoon.
I think that story is
Ava Gardner, is it?
Well known that she was going with Frank Sinatra at the time. Oh, maybe I've crossed the line.
Yeah, maybe we haven't heard that before.
Everyone involved's dead.
Keep going. Jay's cool.
They're both dead.
But anyway, so he was a stuntman.
Yes.
And working on the film On the Beach.
Gregory filmed it
in Melbourne. But he told me a story once where there was a guy swimming and challenged him to a butterfly race.
Right.
And Bill's gone, mate, no, it's a swimming race. And Bill said, I'll beat you butterfly. And he goes, okay. And this is, and to make it even better, I'll tie my feet up with my belt. Now, the other guy didn't know that that's actually an advantage.
Yes, it would be.
They've got a flipper.
You've got a flipper. And he went on to win it.
Well done.
The greatest Australian I know, Bill Hunter, would be turning in his grave right now.
And so would Madam Butterfly.
That's right.
Be upset.
That's
right.
Hearing about this. All right, let's have a look at some of our callers. 1-3-3-5-3, Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Matt, what did have you noticed that's un-Australian activity?
G'day, guys. An Australian activity I noticed during the pandemic was it was 8 o'clock on a Friday night and the bloody bottle-o was closed.
Wow.
It's bloody.
You're joking.
No,
where was this, Matt?
In
what state?
Clyde. In Victoria.
One word, Matt, looting. I generally don't condone it.
Good God.
Coronavirus style lockdown and no access to alcohol. That is on a
totally un-Australian
slab of Brick Lane coming your way.
That's
fella.
A good one.
Well done. Jane's got a good one. Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Yeah, hi. This is to Jane. So, hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks,
Talk
Jane.
Talk about yourself, girl.
That's good. You
What's
do
going
me?
On?
Okay, so you were saying the other day how they don't sell alcohol on planes anymore.
So at the moment
we've paid out for our passport, but we can't even use our passport.
Yes.
So how un-Australian is that? You fork out the money to be able to use your passport, but we can't even use it. They should be giving us a refund. They should be giving us some money back on our passport.
I know what you're saying. So you should have a credit on years on time that you're not using your passport, like with your frequent flyer points. So when it expires, you go, well, bad luck. I haven't been able to use it for a whole year, so stuff that.
yeah, the way it's going, it could be 2 years.
Mm. Mm.
It could be, yeah, that's a bit sad. Hey, Jane, thank you for that.
Good
yes,
on you,
we
Jane.
Get that. That's
Thanks
a,
for
that
the
is
call.
Un-Australian
Bloody
yeah,
oath.
To do
Phil.
That to us.
Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Un-Australian activity, what have you seen?
Hi, Mick.
Hi, Phil. What's the un-Australian activity, mate?
Well, actually, Jane, mate. Jane and her friends on the weekend at their little soiree away, I would say medium to heavily intoxicated young ladies there, medium-aged ladies, not calling the fires around to put their fires out.
You didn't call the fires?
Australian.
Very un-Australian. That's very un-Australian.
And I know Jane and her friends, and they could have started that deliberately just to get some fires.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, we did discuss it. We did think that they may have to strip off to put the fire out. Oh, it did come up in conversation, but we did manage it ourselves, which is very Australian of us.
Right, the fire.
But I get your point.
Hey, girls, the fireys are here. Oh, imagine that.
Oh, this way, officer.
All right, good call. Let's go to Warren. Warren.
Hi, guys.
What's that Australian activity, mate?
Well, it's not the un-Australian one. It's that Pommy one about not doing the butterfly. Like, I know it's stupid, but I work in the pool industry, mate.
Yeah.
And it couldn't be a more hygienic place to be. It's chlorinated. It's looked after. I got my hands in chlorinated water all day. I feel fine.
I'd be more worried if an Englishman jumped in that pool.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know those little rings that they have that let people know when it's getting a bit sooty?
Hey, that's a good one. Well done.
We get the idea. Right. We've been told to take a break. Let's do it. We'll be back. We've got a very important interview.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
And joining us now is the founder of Rode Microphones, which is a brilliant Australian company.
Top shelf.
Peter Friedman joins us on Kennedy Malloy.
Hello, Pete. How are you?
Hey, I'm feeling great, but I'm hoping you're talking in some Rode mics there, but you can pretend.
You'll know by the quality of our dulcet tones.
You know,
we've got the right mic.
Yeah, you both sound great anyway.
Thank you.
What makes the Rode mics, before we get into it, Rode microphones the biggest and the best and the meanest on the block?
Oh, mate, just puts more money in my pocket.
money.
It's homegrown, brother. Have a listen to him. You know, to tell you.
Do you know what? I used to watch Daryl Braithwaite. Do you know the two-handed microphone technique?
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that was a ripper. Have you got one yourself? Was there a microphone technique that got you into the business?
Yeah. Well, it's funny you say. I mean, I've got probably the best collection of mics around because I love them and I use them for development. But my dad did sound for Tom Jones and all the big artists in the 60s. And as a kid, I used to watch it. But it was his mics, and he freaked out with people, even like John Farnham, when they'd swing it by the case. He's thinking, there goes a month's wages.
Well, we all love the Queen and, of course, Eddie Mercury, who had grabbed the top half and went to town on that.
Yeah.
There should be a Hall of Fame. There should be like a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a microphone Hall of Fame, where we go along and we can see all these wonderful microphones from certain concerts in time. How good would that be?
Done. I can do it.
All right.
Now, you, as you say, you like making money, you should make money, and one of the things you've recently spent the dough on is something very exciting for the world to hear, and we're so rapt that an Aussie has bought it. You have bought one of the most famous guitars in the world.
It's iconic.
Can you please, yes, iconic. Tell Australia what guitar that you have paid $8.8 million for, Peter.
Yeah, it's done with mirrors. It wasn't real money. But it's the Austin Martin guitar, and it's the one out of his, the unplugged gig.
Wow.
It's mind-blowing. But I got to tell you, I planned this for a while because I wanted to use it as a catalyst to do the charity thing with musicians and artists, as I was saying to everybody. Yeah. But I never expected it to be as good as this. The press worldwide, I think it's hit about 1 billion people, and I've been every paper of the world, which just shows Australians can punch above the weight. And now we've got an opportunity to highlight this crisis worldwide.
Yeah.
It's going to work.
Can I say this to you? And I've done this. I've gone out to a few charity auctions or whatever and woke up in the morning with a hangover and looked at the end of my bed and gone, oh, God, did I buy that last night? Tell me you haven't woken up with a $9 million guitar at the end of your bed, albeit Kurt Cobain's, and gone, what happened?
Well, right now, and I'm San Francisco's where I'm living, but I'm in LA at the moment, but regularly boxes from eBay turn up and go, I never would.
Yeah, you get on famously.
I know the feeling.
without Jane Kennedy. A few other things have come up lately. I just want to know, like Elvis Presley's jockstrap didn't appeal to you? Went for 54K?
No, but you know, funny you should say that. I've been looking for one of those TCB necklaces forever, you know, taking care of business. And it was a real special one that he gave to a mate, one of the serious body guys, and I'm hanging around my neck right now.
You want one of that?
No, I got one. I got it. And I've got, his deputy sheriff's badge. There you go.
Oh, that's awesome. I would have loved just one of his karate suits. One of Elvis's karate suits.
Actually, no, I've got a better one for you. Yeah. I've got his pristine white Lincoln Continental two-door.
What?
Oh, my God. What? Don't tell him that, hey, Peter.
You're really
that
starting to shit me, Peter.
You know what? People like me annoy me.
Okay, Peter, well, I've got one for you. It's an object of mine that you might be interested in buying.
Oh.
And I'm going to talk you through
it. Is it a nose flute?
It's not far off it, Pete. Okay. I have to tell you. So, and Pete, get ready for this.
Let me describe the lineage. Obviously, you're interested in Kurt Cobain's guitar from the Unplugged series, which is now in your hands for $9 million. But you may not be aware of this, but a band called Puddle of Mud, About a Girl, which was Nirvana's cover of their own song.
Sure.
Yeah. I've done a cover myself of Puddle of Mud's cover. Of Nirvana's cover of their own song.
Are you any good?
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play it for you, and you can tell me what you're prepared to pay for the guitar I used in this recording. Go!
I'll take advantage while you hang me out to dry, but I can't see you every night, Mickey.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm never lost for words. I've never lost for words. And so I was told a long time ago when I was walking the streets of LA trying to sell my products that there are no bad products, only bad price points. So what's your price point, brother?
Let's call it that. 500 grand?
I reckon 995. You've got to give him something else.
What about the cowbell?
Hey, Michael Gudinski has passed on that. So has Guy Sebastian. So you're in good company. Yes. I presume you're going to pass on that one, Peter.
No, I think it's great. I'll give you $9.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Hey, Peter, we've got to go. Congratulations. Good on you. You obviously love music, and there's a reason why you're the best in the business.
Thank you. And I'm going to be calling on both of you to support what I've got coming because it's going to be great.
Hey, Peter, one last, if you could have any bit of, if there's anything out there that you could get, if you had one item on your list that you covered.
No, well, you misunderstand. You know, I've got the dough. I'm giving it all away. I don't want anything anymore. My life is good. I'm going to help people. So I'm not going to buy stuff to sit there and gather dust.
All right.
We love hearing people like you. Good on you, Peter. Love hearing
you. You know, if you die rich, you die in disgrace.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right, well, hey. I'm quite happy to be frowned upon.
Well, you got your $9.
$9 for it.
Standard of Road, that's Peter Friedman.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We were just talking about, we should say you're on Kennedy Molloy on Triple M. Yeah. We were just talking about that song because an Australian man has bought the guitar that Kurt Cobain played from that live MTV session for $8 million.
Yeah. $9 million Australian.
$9 million Australian bucks.
Offered me $9.
You've sort of ruined that song for me a bit.
Do you reckon I have? When you hear that now, do you think of my version as the definitive?
Alex has rung through. I don't know when to take Alex's call. He's got an observation. Alex?
Yes. Hi, Alex.
How's all going?
Yeah, good. Is that one of your favourite songs of all time, mate?
I've got to say now that every time I hear it, instead of hearing Free, I hear Mickey.
Snap. That's my problem too, Alex. Mickey.
Wow. It has been suggested to me that the people's enjoyment of that song may have diminished since my definitive version came out.
Congratulations.
Slab of Brick Lane coming your way, Alex. All right. It'll be the bass lager for you, my friend. Done. And Jane, your theory, I'm not even going to peddle live on air. I think we need to talk about that another time.
It was not my theory. It's why there was a bit of bad blood between the band members when Kurt Cobain was alive is that people didn't let Dave Grohl sing as much because Dave had the better voice. All right, there you go. I've said it.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there was much bad blood between
song
the band, was there? I think
I
it was cool.
I'm with you, Jane.
Blind old Yoko, who was it? I beg your pardon?
I'm with Jane.
There you go, I knew you were.
No, that's right.
Not.
The drummer had a better voice and yes. one of the greatest rock stars in the history of
just,
rock and roll.
But he kept it under wraps. Yeah. He didn't want it. It was people of the producers around them. That's what I'm saying. Okay.
We all know Eddie Vedder has a better voice anyway.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to go talk about drummers with a voice, there's Daryl Summers, who's clearly the best. And I know you had a crush on
him. I think Chris Collins.
Maybe Daryl Summers should have sung with
Phil
Bar.
Collins.
Phil Collins. Don Henley.
Do you know what?
Come on, what have you got against drummers?
If anyone sullies the memory of Nirvana, it'll be me. Okay.
All right.
You've done it. Do you know what I'm going to do now? Next.
What?
Recreate their album
Don't you
cover
do any
with
Foo
me
Fighters.
As the baby.
I'm going to recreate it with me as the baby.
Jeez. And I'm going to put it on our website.
Mickey Wang sticking out. Yes.
And with that will come my version of About a Girl. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I love it.
Okay.
Speaking of music.
Here he comes.
Change the song
Me
whisperer.
In the pool. Like a big baby. A big naked baby.
All right. I'm not taking the photo. We'll get someone to do it. You can go into one of those pools that have got, glass in the front.
It'll be a pool bar.
A pool bar. You can have a cocktail in there.
I'll have a cocktail in there. All right.
A Negroni. An underwater Negroni. Hello, song whisperer.
Hello.
How are you going?
What is it?
Doing great.
What are you bringing to the table?
All right, you ready?
What's the synopsis? Bro?
This is a stubborn guy convinced of his own righteousness. He doesn't care what you think or what you have to say, and he's not interested in joining your Zoom call to discuss options about how you can work together. It's
very
his way
now.
Or the highway. He is not open to suggestions. He doesn't care about correcting the record. He has no interest in new information and as for facts that contradict his worldview, no thank you.
Dave Grohl.
It's not.
Someone's
Dave.
Very self-assured.
Very self-assured. He's right. You're wrong.
What's that song?
I don't know.
So hit the road, Jack. Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back.
No more.
My way or the highway.
Not hit the road, Jack.
Anything by John Denver?
Not John Denver.
Dave, have you got a thought?
What about Baby, I Don't Care? Transvision Vamp, maybe.
Again, Dave, stop bringing in your own records.
Except the song whisperer kept reiterating that it was a bloke.
Yeah,
it is. It's a stubborn guy.
Not right.
Jane, why don't you have a crack? There we go. It's a bit fuzzy.
Hugh Jackman, this is me from...
Oh, my God.
It's not you.
Maybe Hugh Jackman should have sung for Nirvana because he's got a good proper voice.
Yeah,
he's got one of those music theatre-trained voices.
A musical theatre voice.
You get the idea, people. 133353, give us a call.
Drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And it's going to be a cracker, make no mistake. Tom Gleisner comes in to explain why I'm not on Have You Been Paying Attention
Really?
Tonight.
Is that
Did
the
I
point?
Do something?
Maybe you did.
Is it just professional jealousy?
No.
Well, maybe you belong in the other segment we're doing, Men Are Idiots.
Well,
that
I'm
might
definitely
be why
involved in that tonight. Don't
know
you
any idiots?
That.
You can call up when it's time to tell us, because we've got a couple for
All
you.
All right. We'll also take your calls, take your tweets, get through so much more, but we're going to start at the top with the song Whisperer, who has give us the synopsis again. Please, Dave, have we got the jingle?
You want to hear
I really like it. I think it's really important.
Whisperer
enters the studio. He's got
a
femoral. Yeah.
Sets the scene.
From now on, every time.
It's like he's floating in.
That's okay.
It's like he's like from Aladdin.
Yeah. On a carpet.
He's here. Yeah. Or just at the start of a segment involving the thing.
Sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't.
The time we do it.
Every time we do it
is when you forget.
No, it's not. That is not true.
We like it, though.
Come on, mate. You're getting too defensive.
I am, aren't I? Going to turn it a bit.
It's always
right.
Here he goes.
All right.
It's not a lot to ask, is it?
No, part one of the song was I always played the intro.
And that's
then
fantastic.
Part two, not always.
But it should be.
Okay, well, now we've made the precedent.
I feel like
happen.
It's been a long time since the intro.
Okay.
Well, you want to hear it again, do you?
Thank you. Jay, the song whisperer.
Okay. This is a stubborn guy convinced of his own righteousness.
Is it Dave?
It's not Dave. He doesn't care what...
Jay, the song whisperer. Yeah,
he doesn't care what you think or what you have to say, and he's not interested in joining your Zoom call to discuss options about how you can work together. It's his way or the highway. He is not open to suggestions. He doesn't care about correcting the record. He has no interest in new information. And as for facts that contradict his worldview, no thank you.
Jeez.
Tough.
Would you describe it as a tale of woe?
No, not a tale of woe. Not for him.
Not for him.
Strength.
Tale of strength.
Go to the calls. Matt.
Very self-assured.
Yeah. What are you thinking at this stage?
I was thinking that song goes, I'm an asshole.
Dennis Leary.
I'm an asshole. Yes, Dennis Leary.
It's a real anthem. It's an anthem. He owns it. This
absolutely.
Is the way of the highway.
Yeah.
He's not open to any suggestions.
No.
He is not, and it's not Dennis Leary.
But good to hear the song.
Yeah. All right, Fiona, where are you calling us from, Fiona?
Hi, Mickey. I'm from Frankston.
I'm Frankston's favourite son. Did you know that? I come from Frankston South.
The ritzy part.
There should be a statue of me.
Well, that might be pulled down if there was a statue of you.
I'll tell you where it should be, out the front of the Frankston Magistrates Court.
There you go.
With a jacket over my head.
Yep. Fiona, what's your suggestion?
Gateway to Melbourne's Cote d'Azur, Fiona. Okay.
Well,
Frankston.
I'm sorry to say this, Mickey, but I think
well done.
I think it's Billy Joel's My Life.
Great song.
No, Dave.
Because I'm all right.
I think Billy Joel's doing a pretty good job on his own, right?
You never miss
a Billy Joel cue.
That's true. Always at my fingertips.
Yeah. Still want to go there for your 50th?
Next year, New York City, Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Nice.
What if we're here doing the show?
My 50th, not yours. So,
What are you about of the show? What are you going to do? Take off?
Got some long service leave up my sleeve. I might pull out a bit of extra leave.
And abandon ship.
No, I'm not abandoning ship.
What am I going to do for my 50th? Gosh.
You're adorable.
Reminisce.
You've got 4 years to think about that, Jane.
Thank you. Thanks, Song Whisperer.
What did you say?
I said she's
said,
got 4 years
to think about
that.
To think about it.
Jane's 46.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. It is not Billy Joel.
It's not Billy Joel.
It's not.
No.
All right. Well, let's get into it then. Okay. What about, is it Michael?
Yes. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Michael, did you really listen to the clues when you're about to say this song? But that's okay.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, because I'm just going to reiterate that the song whisperer said this is a stubborn guy convinced of his own righteousness.
You can't knock him out of the water before he even does.
I've got to hear the song.
What's wrong with you? Don't you know the...
etiquette?
Know the etiquette of the song whisperer.
All right, let's go through with it.
Don't bother now. There's no point. Sorry.
But honestly.
Michael, don't worry. Thanks for calling.
What's the song?
Change told him he can't win.
What is it?
Well, it was... What was it, Michael? You're so vain. Give him a slab.
By Carly Simon, who's a woman.
Give him a slab and send him on his way.
Well done. Slab of Brick Lane coming your way, Michael. Thank you for calling, Kennedy Malloy.
Brandon's on the line. Brandon, what's the song, buddy?
I've got no idea how to play this game, but I just thought of Tom Cruise, Danger Zone, Kenny Loggins.
Okay. There's a few things to unpack here, Brandon.
Please, you go first.
All right. Well, Danger Zone, good guess. Perhaps Kenny Loggins is the performer you're thinking of.
Yes. What did I say?
Tom Cruise, but that's okay. Because you're thinking of the movie that Tom Cruise was in, and this song was from Top Gun.
Yes.
Okay.
Song Whisperer, is it Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins?
It is not Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
No, bad luck, Brandon. Snooze, you lose. Jason.
G'day.
Song, please.
I was thinking We're Not Gonna Take It, which I
ooh.
Believe.
Ooh.
Oh, our friend.
Yeah, see, again, on the logic, I would suggest that we're is a plural, not a singular, which would be a he or a she. In this case, it's pointed out a he.
Oh, it's all right for you to point out something disparaging, is it? But not
here
me.
Here we go.
Not Twisted Sister.
All right, come on. Danny, give us something. What are you thinking?
Is it the theme song to Donald Trump's rallies?
Ooh. Oh, hang on. You peaked this.
That's interesting, Danny.
But you don't know the name of the song.
No.
Can you sing it for us? Can you sing it for us?
It sounds like the sort of the words that he would have in his speeches. Mm. It's all about him. Mm. All about me.
It's interesting.
Maybe
Donald Trump would be the kind of guy who wouldn't back down.
Oh,
you could stand him up at the gates of hell.
As in Tom Petty,
Are we going to
stand my ground? Won't be turned around? Are we giving it to Danny?
Well, hang on, is this what you're thinking, Danny?
Come
here. Yes,
Danny, you have gotten away with murder on the day of the song whisperer today. That is the most, the
ridiculous.
Loosest. So you couldn't even sing the song, name the song, but you identified it as being part of Donald Trump's rally, and on that basis, we've given it to you.
Fantastic.
Well done.
What does Danny get?
Well, good news. You've got a case of Brick Lane coming your way, Danny. Oh. And on Friday, even better news, you're now in the draw on the shortlist to win that brand new Tempur mattress. It's worth $10,000.
Oh, what a ripper.
Nothing feels, supports, or adapts like a Tempur.
Now, if we play this song, isn't there a backstory to this song too, Song Whisperer?
There is a little bit of a backstory.
Yeah, because Donald Trump's playing this song and
correct.
Tom Petty's family haven't approved it. So they're saying, back off, back down, brother.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tom Petty should not back down. Donald Trump won't back down. No one's backing down.
Yeah.
Now it's a fiasco.
Yeah.
Hey,
let's
thank
hear the
you,
song.
Song Whisperer.
Well done, Song Whisperer.
We you're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Take you around.
All
right.
Don't worry about it.
Don't ruin it for Petty.
Tom Petty.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Well, we always love hearing from this guy because it's Monday night and Tom Gleisner, I'd say, is probably the Daryl Summers of his generation.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. As one of the most...
Welcome aboard.
Well, he's one of the most famous people on television, hasn't he, has to be in this country? Why aren't you joining in and acknowledging that? That's why you're not on the show now.
Hang on. I'm just trying to get to the Daryl Summers analogy. In what capacity?
Because Daryl Summers was the most...
I'm saying
Daryl was the most famous person on television hosting Hey Hat Saturday in his day.
He's been loved over the years, hasn't he, Daryl?
And you're saying that Tom
Gleisner
is the host of the much loved.
Have you been paying attention?
He's in the same rarefied I've won 5 gold Logies and released an album of Christmas songs.
That he hasn't got to.
Daryl Summers. Mm. Is that your point?
It is my point. Tom, hello, how are
discuss?
You?
Hello, Janie. Hey, Mick. Never done the Christmas album, but I'd actually love to. Just work my way through a couple of carols badly auto-tune, it'd be all right.
Well, that is one case in point. Because, to be fair, Tom's not a great singer. But he can dance.
Jeez,
he's a good dancer, though.
I'd like to see him in a Channel 10 promo where he did some dancing. Channel 10 piked it. All that was a stupid press the button. What about getting out there and singing for your supper or doing something in a promo? That
a bit of showbiz, Tom.
Hmm.
Not going to happen, I'm afraid. But... I would like to talk about songs, if that's okay. I've got something I'd like to share with you.
Sure.
You just played a bit of Tom Petty there with the I Won't Back Down.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, he's locked his family and locked in battle with Donald Trump because U.S. presidents and presidential hopefuls love having a theme song to come out onto stage with.
They do.
Donald's been using the Tom Petty one without authorization. But can I take you back through a little bit of history of the campaign song? Well, it's been going forever, but probably one of the lamest choices was 89, George H.W. Bush. He went with a bit of Woody Guthrie. Have we got a bit of that action?
This land is your land, and this land is my land.
Oh, everybody sing.
All together now.
Is that him singing?
No. But
Woody Guthrie.
Not really
a little lackluster.
Yeah, also, Janie, kind of weirdly inappropriate because Woody Guthrie was a communist who believed that property belonged to everyone. George H.W. is coming out.
But it
rocked up as we got into the 90s and beyond. Can you remember Bill Clinton's choice?
I can.
Oh, yes.
And he used to play sax along with
it. He used to play saxophone, yes.
He played the sax with that one. And then, now, Barack Obama's harder to pin down because he actually had a playlist. He actually literally put out a playlist. But I looked it up, and the most commonly used one in 2008, Obama went with a bit of Stevie Wonder.
Right.
okay. Yeah, that's
the best so far.
Very cool.
That's smooth
so heading,
as.
Heading in the right direction, I think we'll all agree. But it came from very, very shaky roots, because I want to take you right back now to the 1960s. In fact, 1960. Mm-hmm. And John F. Kennedy, no relation, Janie, of course. But
well, way back we go, if we look on the records.
This is good, but it's kind of not good. He got Frank Sinatra to re-record a special version of High Hopes. Take a listen to Frank.
Okay.
Everyone is voting for Jack, 'cause he's got what all the rest lack.
You get the idea.
Jack.
I would have thought Marilyn Monroe singing Happy Birthday to JFK
would have been better,
run on.
I really like that version. How's good Frank Sinatra's voice?
Yeah. So you can make anything sound good. But
ended badly for those two, by the way, because after he won the election, Frank took it personally that he was never invited or allowed to hang out with the,
and they fell out.
The big cheese, and they had a big falling out.
Can't get the brat pat on
it. It's all in my book.
There you go. Well, in the same year, 1960, up against John F. Kennedy was one Richard Nixon. Oh. And he had a special song written for him. Mm-hmm. And kid you not, it was called Click with Dick. Take a listen.
Come on and click with Dick, the one that Bob has licked. He's the man to lead the USA.
You're making this up. Mm. You made that up.
Wow. You're joking.
There he is. Come on and click with Dick, for one that no one can lick. I don't think the words dick and lick should be in the same.
Possibly not,
same
Tom.
Verse, but
did you make that up?
That is, Mickey, that is 100%
true. I feel so silly. Wow.
Your research is incredible.
Wow. Imagine walking out onto stage.
Just
at the,
for that.
Yes, but you didn't have to wait for Watergate. Imagine walking out onto stage with, okay, crank up the band with Click with Dick. We've got a little bit more.
Fight when he is sure he's right, so let's all click with Dick. Come on
and on it goes.
Wow, that's fantastic.
What about when next time I'm on Have You Paying Attention, we could have Click for Mick and I come out and you play all that. Would that be good?
Are you surprised, Tom, it comes back to Mick again, the songs? Mickey!
Drag himself into the centre of attention. You are a narcissist, Mickey, but we love you for it.
Hey, all right, Tommy, what's coming? Who's on the show tonight that enjoy?
Oh, well,
not me.
We've got a great team tonight, or as I call them, a cluster. And it's got Ed, Sam, Celia, Tim McDonald, and all the way from New Zealand, Mel Bracewell. So we're 20% COVID-free. It's going to be a cracker.
Well, that'll be great.
Hey, good stuff. It's great. Any idea when I'll be on next, Tom? Because I thought it went well last time, and I just haven't heard a word. There's no
extremely well. Promise you'll be on before we find a vaccine.
Tom, we always enjoy it. Thank you for your very informative musical segment there. We love that. Thank you.
Thanks, Janie. Thanks, Mick.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
You had an interesting weekend, the weekend away with the girls and nearly set your house on fire.
Yeah, sure.
And failed to call the fire brigade.
and games. Oh. What did you get up to?
Well, it was good. I was okay, but I tried to watch Netflix last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit of fiasco. Am I right, James?
Yeah.
This is James who works with us. So.
I'm worried because you're trying to watch. You don't often watch Netflix, do you?
Well, yeah, no, I can't.
Because it involves using a computer. It
usually means I've run out of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, I couldn't get it at all. So what time did you get the call?
Text message 8:48 p.m. on a Sunday. Can you give me a call re-Wi-Fi?
oh, my God.
Okay. So I gave you a call.
Yeah, give me a call now. And I'm going, stupid Netflix is down.
Yeah, we've
heard this. What could it be?
Heard this before, haven't we, James?
What do you know? What was it? Whatever.
Well, I was trying to diagnose the issue. I was trying to work out, you know, what application is Netflix running on? Is it on an Apple TV, something like that?
Yeah.
And halfway through trying to diagnose the issue, it was just like, I've got Toddy, and he just hangs.
Get off the phone.
Yep.
Because my guy from Brisbane was ringing in because he'd got the call.
Real tech.
Well.
Engineer from Triple M Brisbane. Yeah.
He's my Will Todd who put in my system.
Know him well.
And
who saved your butt before when you've gone, my system's not working, and he's come down.
I flew him down.
You flew him from Brisbane.
I had to fly
him down.
And
he turned the power on, didn't he?
It was just
that made it work.
But
what was the problem?
Well, as Toddy pointed out, because he can tell everything from his house now, because he just gets it up and he can tell which of my systems is operating.
Right.
Yeah, he goes, have you had the NBN through there recently? Because you may remember last week I had the NBN.
Yes.
We do recall.
Through who changed all my systems and Wi-Fi and my Wi-Fi password. So now I don't know my Wi-Fi password, which I had no idea was linked to Netflix. Am I right?
Well, how else would Netflix run on your TV?
How does it work?
It comes with the telly. don't say that. God. Hey, Dave, take that tone out of your voice.
I'm a Foxtel a few weeks
ago. But what am I supposed to do? I go, no, I pay Netflix as a subscription. Yeah. Why should it be reliant on my other business, i.e. my internet, that's a different thing.
Well, you can't run Netflix without the internet.
Why?
Because that's the way it works.
Is this a good cue for the next
segment? Hang on, I'm not done yet. Idiots, Jane Kennedy, take that back.
I haven't heard that for a while.
It's been a while since I've heard that opener, Dave.
Ouch.
Might be the wrong one.
We might want to put yourself in there. Now, listen.
Men are idiots.
What are you saying that I did wrong? What did I do wrong?
But when you've got your new NBN, there's a new password.
New password, correct.
You haven't noticed on your computer that you've had to...
I don't even
want to have the conversation.
But I can't do my phone. My phone has... So can you do it?
We've walked you through... Jane, Mick tried to get me to connect him to his new Wi-Fi from the office.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry the work conditions that you have to deal with, James.
Sunday night, 8:46.
Okay, am I missing something here?
Yeah. Okay, this is the segment called Men Are Idiots.
I could be Elon Musk if I wanted.
Did you end up watching Netflix? We are dying to know.
Yes, because thank you, Will Todd, who had the patience once I got Bugger Legs off the line, who is basically just like a nuisance call. But once James got off the line and the cavalry arrived, Will Todd,
what did you end up watching? What did you watch after all that?
Thanks to, what do you call it, when you FaceTime?
Oh, stop it.
FaceTime. So I would then turn it around
and
show him
the camera in.
And then he would look at what the screen was.
What did you watch?
What to do.
What did you watch?
In the end, I said, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Nothing. It was too late. I just went back.
I would say play the theme again, but I don't want to hear my voice again. So it's Men Are Idiots.
Yes. Okay. What do we got?
Man arrested at Dutch airport smuggling cocaine in fake penis.
Okay.
Men Are Idiots.
He qualifies.
Well, on many levels.
How'd they get him?
Well, smuggling drugs is ridiculous.
He was stiff.
Men Are Idiots to be caught out doing that. I don't know how they picked it. It actually doesn't say it in the story, which is ridiculous.
So depending on the size.
He arrived, he was at Brussels Airport.
Depending on the size of your penis.
Okay. He was trying to smuggle cocaine into Belgium by hiding it in an artificial penis.
Yeah.
And he could face 2 years in prison. He initially failed a drugs test and they then must have gone downstairs and went...
downstairs and had a look. Yeah. So depending on the size of your apparatus would be how much you could smuggle.
Yeah.
I'd probably get about two kilograms for me.
All down there.
2 kilograms for me. Or El Chapo, they call it. Here he comes. El Chapo.
It's only Monday, isn't it?
It's a long week ahead.
Ooh. Leonie's on the line. Leonie, what? What is it?
Hey, Mick. How's it going?
Good. Who's the idiot?
Just a courtesy call for you. I just wanted to remind you that Netflix has its name Netflix because it connects to the internet to join your TV.
Right.
So you get your subscription.
So that's the net from Netflix, is it?
Yeah. That's the internet connection.
Get
stuffed, Leonie. Men Are Idiots.
All right. You're going to give her a prize, are you, Dave?
Yeah, a case of Brick Lane coming your way, I think.
Ridiculous.
Leonie, appreciate you calling through. Community
apologies,
service.
Apologies, Leonie, for my rude partner here. Sorry
All right, Leonie,
about that.
You win this round.
We are going to come back because I want to hear how many idiots are out there. Please let me know.
Triple three,
there's got to be more than one that I work with.
Come on. 1-3-3-5-3.
Get involved.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Men Are Idiots. You can get involved by giving us a ring on 1-3-3-5-3. Kennedy
And
Malloy.
May I just say also that we do women are idiots.
Yeah, that's right.
So you don't have to get all,
we
don't
do
worry
bad
about that.
Parenting.
Yes.
We do.
We're not just having a
Dogs
go at blokes.
Idiots.
But we're inspired by Mick Malloy today because he didn't understand that Netflix is connected to the internet and he had a little trouble hooking himself up.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what it is? technology let me down again.
Well, you've got to keep up with the technology.
All I want is a computer from Star Trek.
Right.
Where you just go, Star Trek, where's my song? Where's my computer? Where's my socks?
And you've been pretty impressive. We're pretty impressed by how you're getting by.
Thank you. In this age, I've been broadcasting from home on my own.
Mm-hmm. That is very impressive to me. Yeah.
Dave, red card.
Okay.
Red card.
Well, on that.
Yep.
Our board's lit up, actually, so there's a lot of idiots in Australia, which is great to know. But Scott.
Yes.
Hi, Scotty. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you?
You've just heard Mick's dilemma about how to work out what the password is and all that. You've got some advice.
Mick, you're an idiot.
Okay, well, good for you, mate. What do you want?
There's a sticker on the back of your modem that tells you what your Wi-Fi password is. And there's a little piece of paper in the box that it comes in that tells you the same thing.
Oh, Scott, he's not going to look in a box. Please. Don't be silly.
Yeah, it's what you do with it, though. What am I supposed to do with it? Oh, look, there's the password. What do I do?
Oh, it's very confusing. Thank you, Scott. That's helpful.
Scott.
Thank you. Hello, Jess.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Good. Do you know any idiots, Jess?
It's sad to say, but my husband at times
is a really
big idiot at times. his latest one was we were shopping at Woolworths, and he walked over and said, "Oh, let's get this one of these barbecue chickens. Look, they're only $4.20."
Right,
that sounds very cheap.
You're an idiot. That's the time it was cooked.
Men are idiots.
So, Mitch, it was cooked at 1:45.
Just so we're clear, is that printed on the label? Is it?
Yes.
It's actually.
So you can tell how fresh it is.
All chooks?
Yes.
Can I just ask, how long has this been going on?
Well, it's now a common funny thing that I just say, "Hey, mate, how cheap are the chickens?" and now he just looks at me and gives me a funny grin. But
time it was cooked, eh?
You don't want to buy your chicken at 12:45 p.m.
Just out of interest, why don't we just rely on them to take it out if it's no longer good for sale?
Then they swap them over if it's too many hours
past. That's what I'm saying. So they don't need it, if, as long as they're doing their
job. They're doing a service to the community. Don't get cross at Woolworths.
Very angry with that.
Good on you, Jess. Thank you for calling.
So
hello.
The time it was cooked is on the...
Yeah.
Yes. Lets you know how fresh it is.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hello, Brad.
How you going, guys?
Does it happen on a bucket of Kentucky, or what are you doing there?
I'm not sure.
No. Just to,
so 4:20. Sorry, Brad. So how long should you allow? Like, what's a bad time? When would you not engage? How long past the cooking
time? That's a good point.
Jane? Jane's released 4 cookbooks.
Yes, she...
I would say after 3 hours.
You reckon?
Whoa!
Yeah, because they're kept in the heat. Yeah, they're kept in sort of an oven under the lamps.
Yeah.
Well, but don't quote me on that. I don't want to kill people with salmonella.
Right. You're going to be sued.
Yeah.
Jane Kennedy said...
Don't put me in a position like that.
All right. Okay.
Come on, let's move on.
You. Who are we talking to?
Brad.
We're talking to Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys.
Sorry about
that chicken conversation.
No, that's all right.
Thank you.
Which one is it, Brad?
Who do you know?
Who's the idiot? Is it you?
Nah, not this time, Iggy. Normally it would be, but not this time. I had a mate of mine who's a plasterer doing some work for me, and he went to screw a batten into the roof, and rather than moving his hand out the way, he put the screw through the plaster, through the batten, and into his hand.
Into his own hand.
But hang on, he didn't bang it in, he screwed it in.
Screwed it in.
You would have thought that first screw turn might have been a tip-off.
Hey, the best part was, to get it out, we had to unscrew it.
Oh, mate.
Oh, that's got to hurt.
Was it a Phillips head?
Yeah, big Phillips head, mate. Yeah. Big 65 mil.
Has he got a new nickname?
Yeah, Screwtop.
Thought so. G'day, Screwtop. How'd you get your nickname?
Brad from Whittlesea. Hey,
unreal.
Case of Brick
beer.
Lane coming your way, mate. Nice base one. Lager for you. Love Share it with your dickhead, mate.
Yeah, good on you. Hey, Steve. How you going?
How you going, Jane?
Yeah, good. Steve, who's the idiot?
Oh, I'm the idiot. I was living on the Gold Coast with the family, and I went down to go fishing. I'm not really a good fisherman. I couldn't catch anything, so I saw this little four-wheel drive on the side with their scale selling seafood.
Yeah.
So I bought a couple of crabs and brought them in. I said, "Look what I caught." And the old man goes, "Geez, you've been fishing in hot water, have you?"
Men are idiots.
They're already cooked.
Because the crabs were red.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
You were sprung bad.
We did the same thing with my dad and the boys on a buyback from a fishing trip with no fish.
Ooh.
Went to one of those farms.
Yes, fishing farm, trap farm.
Oh, a trap farm.
A trout farm, and it came up going, oof.
A farmed trout.
Farmed trout. Obvious
they look very
to the
different.
Trained eye.
Correct.
You get
thank
the idea,
you.
People.
Plenty of idiots. Yeah. Thank you. Idiots.
And by the way, just a quick mention, all our callers this week, you're going to go into the draw to win a $10,000 Tempur mattress prize.
Baby, the king of mattresses.
Yeah, it's the queen mattress.
The big kahuna.
Yeah, it's the queen mattress protector.
Hello.
The adjustable base, two Tempur pillows.
I love it.
Keep talking.
Nothing
right
feels, supports, and adapts to your body like a Tempur.
We
good
love
luck.
It.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
It's all thanks to Crown Equipment too and the Crown Forklifts
Encore
range.
Give it to me.
Range.
Come on.
Oh,
give it to me.
Yes, please.
I want to hear.
There is nothing like a Crown for picking it up and putting it down.
There it is.
I would pay $9 million for the forklift used in that commercial. That's like the guys bought Kurt Cobain's guitar.
Yeah.
That
right.
is the most famous Crown forklift of all time.
Mm.
The one you see zipping about.
Did you see any out on the weekend? You were going to check out some.
You're
going to drive
spotters.
Them around.
I'm like forklift spotting. I go down the warehouses, and what I do is I throw a few pallets around. It's like bait. It's like burley at the back of a boat.
You're right.
And
you're
the dust on the horizon and the Crown.
Well, if you want to get a really good-looking machine, I'll tell you what, you go now because they have reconditioned them to make them look like
cheapest chips.
They're good as gold because they're the best in the business.
And then they
brought them into 2020 there's no tomorrow, and people will just be in awe.
They take them in the shop. They pimp out your ride. They give them a cuddle. They push them back out.
There's a workhorse.
Like if the 747 is the workhorse of the skies, the Crown forklift is the workhorse.
Smooth as silk.
Oh, mate.
Smooth ride.
I'd put some monster truck tyres on, right? And injure it into some kind of... just drive it.
Monster truck.
Drive it around Australia.
Forklift thing.
Oh,
so cool. Can't wait to drive. That's what we should have had at our girls' weekend.
What?
We should have just, had one of those out the front.
Could have forklift.
Who knows what could have happened.
Fire.
Could have put the fire out with it.
Put out the fire.
Oh, that's true.
Fire out with the Crown forklift. It's been reconditioned. It's the best.
Thank you, Crown, for being on board. We love having you here
just
at Kennedy
Miller. About it for a couple of days.
Yeah.
I know.
You want to hear it again?
Yes,
please.
Well, this should be our national anthem.
You're right, actually.
All rise.
Yeah, that's
all
not a bad
rise
idea.
For Crown forklift jingle.
Now I don't mind you singing the Crown song. It suits your voice.
Yeah, it's probably more in your way.
It's the baritone.
That's the baritone.
Play it again once more. We've got some. These cowboys.
There is nothing like the Crown. And putting it down.
Putting it down.
Yeah, you get that bit right.
You do. You get that bit.
That's
not so much the rhythm of the cowbell. We've got to work on that. Hey, who's up tomorrow on our show?
Nate Belvo is going to join us.
Denise Scott. Great comic.
Denise
and lovely
Scott.
Denise.
Have you been paying attention tonight, 8:30 on 10?
Have you been paying attention?
Creepy.
Another Kennedy Malloy catch-up done and dusted for the Crown Forklifts Encore range. Guaranteed reliability, superior quality. Check them out at crown.com. No risk, no worries.